That was an outstanding song, by the way. A good reminder of why it's important for us to get the gospel to the nations, because one of these days, all God's children are going to stand around the throne singing, "Hallelujah, He reigns." You know, that's going to drive me nuts. Is that driving you nuts? That's all right. Well, I can do it in the dark as long as you can. I love electricity, especially when it works. Have y'all noticed that it is election time? Oh, man. It seems that more than ever, we're always in an election season. Driving me nuts. The race for the next president of the United States is going to take all the oxygen out of the land for the next 10 months. I mean, there's promises galore. If you've been listening to some of that stuff, will be the campaign strategy of every candidate. That and the usual mudslinging, distortion. Could I say outright lies? We will hear plenty, though. It's not pretty, but it's going to be quite entertaining, I have a feeling. I was thinking about that recently and just kind of wondered out loud. I wonder what the Bible has to say about this kind of stuff. And I remembered again and had some fun this week walking through Romans 13, and I'd like for you to open your Bible, if you will, to Romans chapter 13. As you're turning, let me ask you some questions. Make sure we're on the same page. Is it true that God is sovereign in all things? Is it true that God is wise in all things? And is it true that God is good in all things? Then we're going to talk about something today that kind of stretches our thinking and perhaps even our emotions. We don't have time to dwell into all the ramifications of this. There have been many volumes written by Christians and unbelievers as well on the role of government. But I want us this morning just kind of walk through. I want to remind you of some things that the Bible says about the role of government and God's hand in the role of government in the lives of our people. We're going to be hit with this from every angle possible. There are a lot of different views. There are a lot of different systems of government. We have one in particular that's dear to our hearts here in the United States of America. And yet, the principles of the Word of God supersede the type of government. It reaches out over all forms of government. I will remind you that when the words of the New Testament were penned, the children of God were under a different form of government than what you and I are under. Rome was the dominating power of the world at that time. They dominated the lands that they conquered. They were benevolent in some ways, and they were ruthless in other ways. But the principles of the Word of God written in that context still are true and applicable to our context as well. So I just want to remind you of some things that we need perhaps to be reminded of as we go into this interesting time. Follow as I read. I'm reading from the New American Standard this morning, chapter 13 of Romans. We'll look at the first 7 verses together. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. That sort of takes the breath out of you, doesn't it? When you read those words, I remind you again that God is sovereign in all things, and that God is wise in all things, and that God is good in all things. And this passage of Scripture gives us another reminder of the goodness and the wisdom and the sovereignty of our God. Well, let me just make some observations. I'll try to keep this short and concise. You can fill in all the blanks when you get home around the table today, as you talk about these things, perhaps. First thing I want you to notice is in verse 1. Look what it says. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Here's the first observation. Governments are established by God. It was in His plan. It is in His wisdom, in His goodness, that He structured government for the good of His people and from all people. And I want you to know, it's a strong word that He uses here, be in subjection, to be subject to. It's the sort of thing, and some of you who've been in the military will understand what this is all about. To be subject is the same response of a soldier to a superior officer. In other words, he's saluted, and his wishes are carried out. The soldier is subject to the superior officer. We're reminded of this in 1 Peter chapter 2, where we read almost the same sort of principles here. Verse 13, submit yourself for the Lord's sake. Did you hear that? Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Be in subjection to the government. Now listen, a soldier is in subjection to a superior officer, whether that officer is the most competent officer or not. It's beside the point. It's because of his position, the authority that he has even by his position. Listen, we're to be subject regardless of even their personal morality. They could be a scoundrel. The government could be unwise. But the command here is that has been instituted by God, and we're to be in subjection to it. And it's also without regard for the reasonableness of what they demand. Now listen, let me make it out a different way. I've told you this story, but let me remind you of this story. When I was a youngster, my dad had a wonderful plan for my life. And one of those plans included moving. When they built our house, they dumped all the gravel they didn't use out in the backyard. Just strewed it all over the place. Well, my dad didn't like gravel in his backyard. So he said, sons, movest thou the gravel from here, and I want to put it down here by the house. Well, that seemed, as a youngster, rather unreasonable. After all, there was a lot of gravel. I only had two hands. These hands could have become the hands of a surgeon or a preacher or something of value, and I'm going to use those to pick up this gravel. And I did. My brother and I, we picked up the gravel and moved it down to the house. And it took forever to do it. I got so sick of seeing gravel. That's why I hate that parking lot back here. It's gravel. Well, after we did that, he said, you know what? I don't want it by the house. I want it by the back fence. Dad, do you remember this? I'm coming clean right here in public. So we picked up that gravel and we moved it to the back of the yard. Now, why would I submit to that as a growing young man? Well, that's my father. He is an authority in my life. Whether it was reasonable or not was beside the point. He wasn't asking me to break some law, do something immoral. He just wanted the rocks moved. And so they're being moved. In the same way, the government, we're to be in subjection to the government. Now, I know what your minds are doing because I do the same thing. But, what about? And we think about all the exceptions. Listen, I know people who are the product of the 60s. And one of the things that was hated in the 60s was authority of any kind. Authority for institutions, government. Those people didn't want any authority over them. And now those people are in prominent positions of teaching and training and parenting and all that kind of stuff. I mean, authority is a bad word. But listen, I want you to see. Authority is something that God has instituted for the good of His people. We'll talk about that in a minute. And the good of mankind as a whole. Authority is not a bad thing. Now, authority can be abused. Authority can outstretch what it's for. In the Acts, the boys are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the authorities throw them in jail. And when they're released, they say, "Don't do that anymore." And you remember what the response of Peter and the boys were? Well, listen, you can decide for yourself what you're going to do, but we're going to obey God rather than men. You see, government authority had outstepped its bounds because God gave us a commandment to take what we sang about, what we heard sung about a while ago, to take the gospel to the world. And how's that to go? We're to preach the gospel. It may mean we'll be thrown in jail. Listen, the church history is strewn with men and women who've been persecuted for preaching the gospel. You ever heard of John Bunyan, the guy who wrote Pilgrim's Progress? You ever heard that name before, anybody? Three of us, okay. Bunyan was a great Baptist preacher who spent a lot of time in jail because he was preaching the gospel. But hey, so there's an exception. When we're asked to violate the law of God, we obey God rather than government. But listen, those examples are few and far between. In Exodus, Pharaoh said, "Man, those Hebrews are multiplying too quickly. I want all the male babies eradicated. We're going to kill every one of them." So what did the midwives do? Kill all the babies of the Jews? No. They did not submit to that authority because who has the authority over life? God does. And so they hid them. Hey, you remember the stories in the book of Daniel? Hey, listen, you better bow down to this idol or you get to take a trip to the fiery furnace. You know? And the boys, what'd they do? Everybody else bowed down, but Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, those guys didn't. Why? Because the Lord God said, "You will worship Him alone." They told Daniel, they passed the ordinance because of Daniel, "Don't be praying. No, don't be praying." And what did Daniel do? He prayed. Any consequences because of that? Yeah, threw him in the lion's den. And same thing with Shadrach and Meshach, trying to obliterate their life. But listen, we stand on the principles of God first, but that doesn't mean that we ignore every even unreasonable act of the government. we're instead told to, here's how we influence it in 1 Timothy chapter 2. What are we told to do? And again, I'm reminding you, when we're writing these things, Rome is in charge. And there are some bad Caesars, some bad guys. And what was the response of the people of God? March? Overthrow? Rebel? No, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says, pray. Pray for those in authority over you. And then, now listen, it's real important. Why? The reason that we pray for the authorities and for the government is so that they'll leave us alone so we can be about what God has called us to be, the people of God, being the salt and light of the gospel and taking the gospel to the whole world. Listen, God give us that freedom. And can I just remind us that here in America, how blessed we are? Even in this government that we have that is intruding and getting into our business seems like more and more and more. But however, we've not been forbidden from worshiping in this place. Now when they do that, when they say you cannot gather to worship, what are we going to do? I'm going to be here. Hope you'll show up. But we haven't been forbidden from doing that. We're supposed to be praying for the government. Now listen, I'm as bad as... Yeah, they come probably griping and complaining all the time. They make me so mad sometimes. But we need to spend as much time praying for them as we do criticizing them. And we need to remember that even the government, even the system of law that we are under, and listen, we've got it made in this country compared to other places, that has been authorized by God. Now, I'm back in chapter 13 again. I want you to see that, secondly, verses 2 and 3, government is a servant of God. I just love the wording of that. The government is a servant of God. He's over it. And the verses say that the government is a servant of God for good. It's instituted to reward good behavior. If you obey the laws, for the most part, you're going to be all right. Generally speaking, that's true. I mean, there are laws that sometimes don't make sense to us, like speed limits in different places like that. But listen, what if there were no speed limits at all? What if all the roads in Walker County were like the Audubon? Now, I tell you, there's some people that act like it's an Audubon. You know what the Audubon is, don't you? In Europe, you can drive as fast as you want to on the Audubon. That's why they get to all these sports cars that do 160, and they'll say, let's open this thing up. Boom! Well, you can do that on the Autobahn, but you can't do that on Highway 78. You can't do it on Curry Highway. I passed a few. No, I've been passed by a few who've done that. But speed limits are there for our good. They're to manage the flow of traffic and for safety reasons. Now, listen, I love the Second Amendment. I got them myself. That gives me the right to bear arms and that kind of stuff. But listen, the concealed carry laws do not cover bazookas. And you can't drive your vintage Sherman tank on the roads around here and say, well, it's the Second Amendment. Right. The laws govern some things, but there's for the good of society for the most part. Now, some of those we disagree with. Well, you know what? I didn't appreciate the gravel either, but nevertheless. Can I touch on a really sensitive issue? And one that we have been, we've spoken about these things and we're upset about these things. When prayer and Bible reading were taken out of the schools. And we were in uproar about that. But can I give you a greater concern in my own heart than that? I'm not as concerned about prayer in the schools as I am prayer in the home. And Bible reading in school, I'm not as concerned about that as Bible reading in the home. Listen, if we aren't doing that in the home, then it's not the school's business to do that. And if we are doing it in the home and they say you can't do that at school, our kids are being bathed in prayer and been bathed in the truth of the Word of God, and really the right people have the responsibility to do that. Now, you send your letters and your disagreements to Steve Britt, 6450 Curry Highway, and that'll be good. But listen, the home has also been instituted as authority in this world for good. And who established that? God did. The government as well. Well, thirdly, I want you to notice in verses 4 and 5 that government is a servant of God for wrath. For wrath. When it talks about the sword in these verses, it's reflecting the authority to inflict punishment, to inflict even capital punishment. It's not in your hands. It's in the hands of the law. And if someone commits a heinous crime, they have a day in court where the law is applied to what they did. It's the form of government. It's why the government's in place to manage the punishment of evil. So government is a servant of God for wrath. That leaves it out of the hands of vigilantes and you and me to try to enforce the law. The government is in place to do those things. Listen, you resist it, you incur the punishment from the law, from the government, from the laws that you broke. But hear me, its purpose is to be a deterrent to crime. That's why we put our officers, our law enforcement people, in a uniform. I mean, I don't know if you have this occasion or not. Even if I'm going the speed limit, doing it just right, and a police car is parked over there or pulls up beside me, what's my immediate? I let off the gas. I'm doing the speed limit, and I let off the gas. It's a deterrent. Even the badge, even the marked car is. And so government is to be a deterrent for lawbreakers, for evil. Listen, I'm glad we have some laws. Laws that protect life and your property and things of that nature. But the government, again, and the wording here is so very important. It's a servant of God. So that means that He instituted it. And the government is really a minister of His, a servant of His. Now, I tell you, verse 6 and 7, I don't like. But nevertheless, they're here and they're true. Not only in first century, but today. Government is a minister of God for taxation. Look what it says. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are, and here again we're reminded, are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. That's taxing us. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to revolt? Are we supposed to not pay our taxes, make a principled statement that we're being taxed too much? And you remember in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel split basically over this issue of taxation. You know, Rehoboam comes to power and the people say, hey, look, man, your father taxed us to death to build all this stuff that he's built. It's all built now. I want you to ease up a little bit. And the young bucks that he was advising him said, hey, man, stick it to him. And so he said, I tell you what, you think it was bad then? I'm going to give you some more. And the kingdom split. Jeroboam in the north, Rehoboam in the south because of that very issue. Was that a good thing? I think not. Now look, I don't like paying taxes. In this day, in the first century, they had property tax. They had income kind of tax. But the word that's used here, not covering just those ones that we expect, but it's covering every kind of taxes, all kind of taxes. Now, you really want to have a headache. You sit down and look at all the things that we're taxed on. It's unbelievable, right? But what are we supposed to do about it? All right, well, it looks like here that the government is a minister of God, even in that area. Jesus paid taxes. The lesson, pay your taxes. He did. They said, are we supposed to do this? And they bring him the coin. He said, whose image is on this thing? Well, Caesar. Give Caesar what he's due. Roman taxation was tough too. But listen, without taxation, we wouldn't have some of the stuff that we so like. Now look, we got presidential candidates said, okay, we're going to do it 10% across the board. If you like that, you vote for him. You got others that say, I want 90%. I'm going to do all this stuff for you. Oh, if you like that, you do it for him. But the reality of paying taxes is a part of what we do. Now, I want you to remind me of all this on April 15th. I'm giving you permission. You come say, John, how you doing with your tax paying today? And you'll see I'll be down in the dumps and soiled up and whatnot. But listen, God says pay your taxes. And it's really interesting to me as well. In verse 5, he says, therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, so that we won't get in trouble, but look at what this next phrase says, but also for conscience' sake, so that my conscience is clear. Do you know how many billions of dollars of tax fraud? How many citizens don't pay their taxes or lie or cheat on them? This covers that conscience part. I got a clear conscience, not only toward the government, I've given them their due, but a clear conscience toward God. I've done what is right. I've done what I'm supposed to do. Well, all right, I'm going to be quick here. Think about it. God has instituted and ordained at least four authority structures on His earth. And one of those is the government. Now listen, we have brothers and sisters in Christ that are living in oppressive government settings. And they need to be crying out to God, and we need to be crying out to God for them. Nevertheless, government has been established by God. That is an authority structure that He put. The church, because we so resent government authority, therefore we start resenting the authority of the church in the life of the believer. But listen, we're supposed as a church to be looking out for each other's souls. We're supposed to be instructing and encouraging in the right, and we're supposed to be warning and rebuking when we're in the wrong. And again, that's not John's idea, that's God's idea. The church is an authority structure in the lives of the believers for their good. Well, you know what the other one is, it's the home. Parents are in a position, a God-given position of authority over their children for their good. Can you imagine we've already seen in our society, when the home starts breaking down, the ramifications in society as a whole. And I think that's why God, in His wisdom and His heart of goodness, established the home as the very center, the very foundational piece of a society. Our homes are important, but our homes have to have an authority structure there as well. Hey, listen, I don't care what the whim of the day is. The kids are not in control. That's why you have a job, parents. That's why it's a whole lot more responsibility to parent than it is to father a child. Responsibility is parenting a child. That's God's design for good. I think we see that in the home. I'm not sure we like it as much with the government. And there's another authority structure in the Scripture. And it has to do with the employer and the employees. Or as the Scripture talks about, the masters and the slaves. If you work in a business, in a company, or work for somebody, the boss is the boss. And you probably had, if you've had more than one job in your life, you probably had some bosses that were very reasonable and helpful and were easy to work for. And you may have had some that were, well, they still had some maturing and growing to do in their own heart and life. They were hard to work for. Nevertheless, the employee is under authority. The employee doesn't run the business. The owner runs the business. And again, why? Because we've got to have authority structure. Now listen, everything in the crawl doesn't like that authority structure. In fact, if you think about it, the whole message of the Scripture is man saying, I'll not have any authority structure over me, and I will not have God as an authority in my life. I will live unto myself. You know, it reminds me of Judges when it says, in that day there was no king in the land. What did the people do? They lived any way they wanted to, because every man was a king in his own eyes. Well, that's great until you step over into somebody else's kingdom. Then we got problems. Listen, the heart of man resists and hates authority. But hear me. In most areas of your life, you're under God's authority whether you want to be or not. The Lord blesses, and the Lord takes away. And in the middle of both of those things, blessed be the name of the Lord. Your next breath, you owe to God. Let's take a good deep one. Whew, thank you, Lord. We're under His authority. I mean, He could take us out at any time. But what do we know in the Scripture about this God who has all authority over all things and who has established these authorities? He is in His being also good. And hear me, is that not the call of the gospel to the hearts of men and women? Come to me. Bow the knee to me. Humble yourselves before God. Cry out for mercy before Him. Now think about it. You're going to be under somebody's authority where you want to be or not. You've heard these stories about a kid who says, I'll not be in the authority of my parents. In fact, I'm leaving home. I'm going to go join the army. Well. All right? You get in the military and you decide, I don't like all these rules. I don't want somebody telling me what to do. I don't want to tell me what time to get up and what I got to do this day. I'm going to go AWOL. Well, bless your heart. Now you're under another authority. Now you're in the brig. They give you some bread and water, maybe. Let you live in a little cell with your little bed and a little lavatory. And your authority in the home sounds pretty good at that point, huh? We don't like authority. And yet the message, the sweet message of the gospel is that God calls us to come under His authority. Oh, and the blessings that are there. Think about it. Yeah, I've got to yield to Him. I've got to obey Him. I've got to come and submit myself to Him. But what does He do? He takes me away from the slavery of my sin and the slavery of my own reckless thinking. And He brings me into a relationship with Him. He takes away the penalty. He takes away the crimes that I've committed against Him. And He washes them away. And He says, come and live as my child, as my son, as my daughter. In fact, I'll bring you under this authority. I'll adopt you. And all that's mine is yours. I'll leave you an inheritance so that you can spend eternity in the presence of God and with all those from all over the world that will be who will believe. And what does He say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's more than an intellectual thing. That is bowing the knee. I mean, I can understand I'm supposed to be under the government authority, but if I don't pay my taxes, I haven't understood. He says, believe on who the Lord Jesus is, what was accomplished at the cross for you. Believe, embrace, put your faith and your trust in Him. And the result of that is you'll be saved. Saved from your sin. Yes, you'll still be under authority, but it's under the authority of one who loves you, who cares for you, who knows what's best for you, and can take whatever pieces of our life and put them together in a way that brings glory to Himself and blesses us. Why do we run from God? It's because bent up in our heart is resistance to any authority, because we are foolish enough to think that we can run our own lives. Listen, you might run your life down here, but you will not run your life in eternity. And so God kindly offers grace to those who come. Anybody in here resistant to the authority of God in your life? Anybody in here who has run from Him, who has fought against Him, who've rebelled and revolted and picketed and said bad things and all that kind of stuff? Anybody in here whose heart God has touched and you're willing to submit to Him? Oh yeah, believers, we're supposed to submit in the areas we're supposed to the government, in the home, in the business, but the ultimate submission is before God. And I call you today, if you don't know Jesus, to submit to Him. It's a good thing. That's not a bad word. It's a good thing. Come under His authority and be saved. Stand with me. Let's pray. Father, I pray today.